I'm Donna.
And I'm Carrie.
And we are Paranormal Chicks.
Sinister Sightings 255. All right, jumping right in. Hello, you amazing women. I hope all is well with you. I have another story, just doing my part to make sure you don't run out of stories to share. This is the story of my first paranormal encounter. So picture it. My girls and I were visiting my sister for the weekend. We were staying in my niece's old room. Backstory, my niece was able to see spirits when she was younger and has always said she doesn't like the closet in her old room. Anyway, my sister had some crafting stuff in the room that we had to move so we could set up the air mattress. I packed it all up and put some in the closet and some in the front of the closet. Later that night, we were going to sleep and my girls would not settle down. They kept arguing and fussing at each other. They were probably 8 and 11 or so. I finally moved them, so I was on the twin bed. My 11-year-old was on the floor alongside the bed. My 8-year-old was on the air mattress at the head of my bed. The girls kept tapping my bed to tattle on each other. Like, tap, tap, tap. P is looking at me. Tap, tap, tap. E isn't laying down. Tap, tap, tap. P won't stop touching my mattress. It was driving me crazy. They finally settled down, and I was just dozing off and feel a tap, tap, tap. I sit up and was literally like, what? It's time to go to sleep. I look over and both girls are fast asleep. Then I realize that the tap, tap, tap came from the foot of the bed. No one was in that part of the room. The only thing at the foot of the bed was the closet. Amazingly, I wasn't freaked out. I was just like, that's weird and scary, and then went to sleep. I was more freaked out the next day. So that's my first physical encounter with something. Hopefully my last. I will not be sleeping in that room again. Take care and creep it real, R. I'm so glad that your kids didn't wake up when you raged on the ghost.
Right.
I would have raged long before you did, but thankfully they didn't wake up.
But how did you sleep after that? Because
her kids sucked the life force out of her.
That's true.
She was so damn tired. She was like, must sleep. I'll be scared tomorrow. Tomorrow, Carrie can care about that.
Well, hopefully it's your last encounter, but kind of not selfishly, because I want you to send in more stories.
You're not wrong, and thank you for doing your part.
Okay, the next one. I just fell. Hey, y'all. So I'm currently painting my oldest daughter's room, and after going to sit on a paint bucket and falling because I missed over half the bucket, fell on the floor and also hit the ladder, I decided it was time to sit down and send you a letter. Oh, and just to let you know, neither of my daughters ran upstairs to make sure I was still alive, and my ass, leg, and thumb is really hurting. Well, we lived in Kentucky and decided to move to Alabama in 2021. We bought the land unseen, my husband's idea. The land has always made me feel uneasy and could possibly be due to an Indian burial ground less than a mile away. So we have been building our house, and my husband wants this huge wall to be tongue and groove wood from floor to ceiling and wants me to stain every piece of wood. After work every day, I would stop by the house and stain several pieces of wood and then head to my father-in-law's house where we're staying until we can move into our house. One day, I stopped by the house and changed out of my work clothes. I am literally standing in the living room in nothing but my panties and hear two male voices talking. I immediately go into the worst case scenario, and I'm already picturing being raped, killed, and left for dead. So I quickly throw on some gym shorts and a tank top and grab the closest weapon, which happens to be an empty caulk gun. Seriously, what am I going to do against these two guys? As I hear them talking, I realize I can't understand a word they're saying and have an extremely thick accent. I slowly move from room to room like I learned from watching cop movies, and holding the caulk gun like it's a real gun. The voices disappear, and due to the rain, I should have seen footprints, and there were none anywhere. After I calmed down, I ran out to my car, grabbed my real gun, brought it in with me, and made sure I could see out all the windows and locked my car. I still have no idea what or who it was. I have so many stories about this house and have only lived here for about a year. I'm also the person who posted about the ceiling fans spinning when they were turned off and was not able to debunk why the fans were spinning. I'll write again soon so you don't run out of stories. Thank you for keeping me company when my kids are driving me insane. Kim.
I'm already seeing a theme in this Sinister Sightings, And it is crotch nuggets are annoying.
Exactly right.
Just kidding. I do love kids. I really talk a lot of shit about kids, but like overall, I really do like them. They're just annoying sometimes.
They are. But I love that you were like, I can picture you going like on the sides of the doors and like looking out with the caulk gun. And I did say caulk about 5 times.
She's got caulk on the brain. Are y'all surprised? I bet you were freaking terrified though. Also, it's very rare for my ceiling fans to actually be off. So I would probably never know if a ghost was fucking with my ceiling fans.
Carrie's living room and her bedroom are the most powerful ceiling fans I've ever experienced in my life.
My bedroom?
Yes. I can't stand in your bed when I'm talking.
Stands in my bed. Yeah, she just stands in the middle of my bed.
Well, as we all know, I can't get it on their bed because it's so fucking tall. But I'll be standing in the bedroom because she's had to pee or something and I'm about to leave. And so we're talking and I'm like, cannot stand there because it's an Arctic blast.
To me, is not very strong. I mean, we do have 2 other like oscillating fans going at night. Well, we're down to 1 extra because the other one is like when it's going now. Can't do that when you're sleeping. Well, before we get into the next story, we have to talk about Care Of, because this episode is sponsored by Care Of.
If you don't know what we're talking about, Care Of is a health and wellness company and it ships high-quality, personalized vitamins, supplements, and powders conveniently to your door every single month. And you know, when it comes straight to my door, I am a fan. I don't have to put on a bra? Yes, please. All you have to do to get started is to take a short online quiz. It's a little in-depth, but it's super short. But it's really to get your lifestyle and your health goals. And then Care Of will give you doctor-backed recommendations. And it's that easy.
I am super excited because I just renewed my Care Of and I got some good stuff coming. And with it coming to your door, you can do a subscription base where you're getting your individual daily packets, which I love because they can, well, 1, because they're super convenient, but 2, because they have my name on it. But if you're not quite ready to jump in and do the subscription base with the individual packets, Care Of is now offering some of their best-selling vitamins in bottle form. So if you're not quite ready to subscribe, that would be a really good option for you.
And in their bottles, it comes for multivitamin for women or for men, probiotics, and different things like a blend for focus or sleep or digestive or energy. Hello, I need all the energy I can get. And like we said, they also have powders too. So they have protein from whey, but also they have plant protein too. And that comes from pea, pumpkin seed, and hemp proteins.
With Care Of, you can always change your health goals if things in your life change and you're like, hey, I need more vitamins for energy, or I need vitamins because I'm planning on getting pregnant or whatever. You can always retake the quiz and get new doctor-backed recommendations. I really love the individual packets, though, because it makes it super easy to take your vitamins on the go. You can just throw them in your purse, your gym bag, LOL, you know, we don't have one of those, but your suitcase, whatever, and just have them on the go. But, I mean, I'm Southern, so I already like things with my name on it, but it's really convenient when you and your partner both have Care Of, because you can say, oh, this one's mine, this one's yours, because it has your name on it. You're like, uh-oh, whose is whose?
Exactly.
And right now, Care Of is offering a special promo for you. You can take 50% off your first Care Of subscription when you go to takecareof.com and enter promo code CREEP50.
So again, for 50% off your first Care Of subscription, go to takecareof.com and enter code CREEP50.
I am super excited to get the next round of Care Of and help try to live my best life. So if you want to join in, head on over to takecareof.com and enter code CREEP50 for 50% off your first Care Of subscription. Okay, the next one. Hi, y'all. I'm going to leave my first name out and just go by Danielle from Texas. There's a lot to say, so let's get into it. I've always loved the scary, creepy wonders of the world. I grew up watching Goosebumps, Are You Afraid of the Dark, and Tales from the Crypt, if that tells you how old I am. but have never experienced anything until now. Maybe I'm awakening or going crazy. It's a toss-up most days. In 2016 through 2018, a lot happened. Married, baby, postpartum, prophetic dreams, marriage crumbles, oh boy. I meet and marry my ex-husband after 3 months. I know. Let's move on. So, married 3 months and pregnant another 3. And can you guess that my postpartum depression really took off that third month after my son's birth? It did. Guess my unlucky number is 3. After having my son, I started having dreams. I write them off as anxiety dreams and nothing more. But let me back up real quick. My first dream has to do with my dad. For most of my childhood, he struggled with diabetes, quitting smoking, and picking it back up again. He wasn't healthy for most of his life. The last 10 years of his life, it all took its toll. The diabetes is refusing to stay regulated, and it finally took a heart attack in the mid-2000s to make him stop smoking. I'm pausing right here. Are you fucking talking about my dad? Because this is literally my dad's life story. Like, same thing, had a heart attack in, what was it, like 2007, 2000, whatever. Like, diabetes, quitting smoking, literally all the things. Okay, moving on. Not going to make it about me. My dad has one of those metal valve things placed in his heart with a guarantee of 9 years of working if he stops smoking. Before they do surgery, they accidentally find a tumor on his right kidney and tell him and the family as they're wheeling him into the operating room. Great customer service. The surgery is successful, and 2 months later, he has his kidney removed. He's doing great for about 6 years, then his health goes downhill fast. In and out of hospitals with little success in staying well. During this time, I get married, have a baby, and struggle mentally. My son is about 4 months old when my dad finally passes away. Leading up to that day, in those months, I start having dreams of death, funeral, and life after. I think nothing of it other than a coping mechanism and move on. Now starts the second dream. I dream that my mom dies, but no one remembers her. No one talks about her. They have no idea who my mom is. But in my dream, when I visit her house, she's alive and well, but only in the house. I tell my husband all of this, and he's encouraging, supportive, all the things. My mom is alive and well to this day. After my dad's death, my mom, we don't have a good relationship, is telling anyone who will hear that I have abandoned her and will not help her. I live 45 minutes away from her, and I'm a stay-at-home mom, and I also would visit 2 to 3 times a week. She's not a woman who values autonomy in her children. I have enough and limit contact. While having those dreams about my mom, I also start having dreams about my husband having affairs and blaming me for them. He ignores them and won't engage when I try to talk about them too. So dreaming about my mom being dead to me and my husband being unfaithful and struggling in postpartum is really making my life hard. It took again 3 months for me to cut contact with my mom and leave my unfaithful husband who did blame me for his affairs. My struggles with mental health should not have happened according to him. I should have been grateful he gave me a son. I'm now a single parent today to a strong, wonderful 6-year-old boy and my mental health is doing great. Me and my ex co-parent successfully, although I do pepper in a few fuck yous every now and then, and I still limit contact with my mom. Before I go, I have a sleep paralysis story. I, like Carrie, believe that sleep apnea and sleep paralysis have a link. I am 2 good handfuls of a woman and have recently been diagnosed with sleep apnea. Oh, God. Other than waking myself with the usual symptoms of sleep apnea, I've never not been able to move. But one night was different. This night, I haven't even thought about maybe having any sleeping disorder, but I wake up to a room that should be dark, but it's very bright and hot. Being a bigger woman, I don't sleep on my back because it can be harder to breathe. I'm on my back and on the very edge of the bed, and the covers are barely hanging on the opposite side of the bed like they've been ripped off. I have a weight right below my pelvic area and a heavy, hot weight on my thigh. When my eyes finally focus from the bright light, I see a man. Now, everything we are told about dreams are that we can only dream of faces we know, and they're not very clear, but he was. I believed someone broke in and was on me. He was real and that clear. White blonde hair, almost translucent, eyes that are so green they can't be real, and a tattoo that wound up from under his shirt to curve around to his left ear. I have never seen anyone like this. Instead of fear, it's another emotion. And instead of my arms pinned, my hands are gripping very hard, muscular thighs. He gives me this sinful smile, lean down, and then smothers me with my wool blanket that I kept buried in the closet because it's just itchy. Before the blanket makes contact, I hear him say in a very erotic voice that he'll be there when I say yes. I immediately wake to everything normal. I fall out of bed. I get up so fast and check the house and all my son. I find nothing. I have a security system and a dog that would have told me if anything was wrong, but she was still in her spot in the living room watching me run around like I was crazy. Once I calm down and check everything, I go back to bed to discover I have fingerprints on my forearm. I know I could have bruised my arm myself, but it was just too real, and I've never had an experience like that again. And I don't have a CPAP yet. Maybe I need to start dating again. Thanks for the time and the great podcast.
Well, he sounds like my type with the tattoo, but he also sounds like an incubus.
Yeah, he does.
And that's a demon girl.
Yeah, that's a don't say yes to him kind of thing. I'd be scared as shit.
Me too. I mean, probably turned on as well, but me too. But also I would have been mad because you fell out of bed. Like, I would have been mad.
I wonder why it was so bright, though, because usually it's dark, right? When you have sleep paralysis, like the room seems darker than dark type thing, or just the person's darker than dark. I don't know. I've never heard that it's been bright like that.
Yeah. I am glad to hear that you and your ex can co-parent, you know, and hey, a little bit of fuck you is still a good thing. You know what I mean? Like, that's normal. Okay, the next one. Justice for Kelsey. Kelsey Walton died on 11/3/23 when she was running away from her abuser. In the small town of Kennett, Missouri, the man she was dating seems to have had something over the police department that makes his crimes disappear. From multiple wives and girlfriends he has abused in the past and moved on to the next. He chased her into oncoming traffic so he was not liable for her death. All the while, he's going through her phone after he steals her phone next to her dead body, makes her Facebook stay activated after her death, and posting her pictures with multiple stories of how the night of her death went. We all want justice for Kelsey and for the known abuser to be held accountable. Kelsey was pregnant with her husband's baby when she met Marco. They couldn't proceed with the divorce because of her being pregnant. Next thing you know, Kelsey is no longer pregnant, leaves Marco, and he slits his wrist open for her and his daughter's attention. Kelsey and Marco eventually get back together, and Marco claims that they're trying to have a kid so Kelsey can divorce Logan. Marco, he calls himself Lord Marco, lives across Highway 412 from the Kennett Country Club's golf course. That night, they were arguing. She was scared and she called her husband for help. And when Marco found out, he chased her. He ran her out of the house and into oncoming traffic. She had her purse when she contacted Logan for help. And when she was attempted to be resuscitated by first responders, Marco was stealing her phone out of her purse. He has changed his story multiple times and acts as if the situation's funny. I know everyone grieves differently, but this is just him defending himself and hiding evidence. The KPD is copying everything Marco says, even made up a little hill in the report for why she wasn't seen in the road, and is acting as if evidence brought to them is small-town gossip. His second wife told me herself that the cops wouldn't take pictures of evidence on her body or in her house from his abuse because he is a city councilman. We want justice for Kelsey, justice for his past survivors, and justice for his future victims. We know that if he is not held accountable now, there will be more. Please help in whatever way you can.
Wait, so he was attacking her, chasing her. She ran into the road and was hit by a car, and he's not in trouble?
Right. How is that? I thought you said, like, okay, so I did a story last week, and you had said that the mother, even if she wasn't the one who had the final blow, like,
right,
she would still be, like, held responsible for the child's death. So that's why I'm like, wait, why is he not reliable?
Reliable?
why is he not liable in some way?
Yeah. I mean, if it's because he's a city councilman, like, come on. We're not, I mean, no one is above the law, but we're not talking about the president of the fucking United States. We're not talking about
It's a small town.
True, I know, but we're not talking about, like, a senator that's, like, hiding a mistress that, I don't know.
But
I mean, I guess.
Yeah, no, this is still, that's still a thing, because just think about.
It is, I know, I'm just being an asshole because it makes me mad.
I know, but I just, like, because that happens here, too, not like
it does.
That.
No, I know. It makes me so mad, though, that people think that just because they're position, they're above the law.
Yeah, because our ex-mayor said some pretty shitty shit.
Let's just say racist things that, like, made national news.
Yeah, and he knew he was above the law. Like, they couldn't do anything really to him. And
they literally asked him to step down. He was like,
nope.
Not gonna. You can't make me. Sorry. Yeah.
So,
like, literally, they couldn't make him.
Yeah. So, I mean, it. And this is small town, too. And
I know. Again, I'm just being a butt because it makes me mad.
But I do really feel so sorry for Kelsey. And gosh, like, when you said his past survivors and his future victims, like, that just made my stomach hurt.
Okay, the next one. Hey, y'all, it's your girl, Jack. I'm writing after starting in the middle of 2022, and I'm all caught up. So I heard you guys were running a little low on stories, so I decided to share my quick little paranormal story. Sidebar, since I caught up, I started from the beginning, and dang, I ain't know y'all been doing this since 2018. Okay, now. Okay, I had this friend I met in college, and we grew close. So close, in fact, when she couldn't afford to live on campus, I asked my mom could she move in with us for the semester because I'd only stayed 15 to 20 minutes from the college. And she did. Anyway, skipping to the sad part, she later died on May 30th, 2020 due to falling asleep at the wheel and hitting a tree. And the craziest part of me finding out was that I was on a social media cleanse and hadn't been on social media in about a month and a half when I randomly had this feeling I needed to get on Facebook. So I grabbed my laptop and logged in, just like the olden days, true millennial here. But once I did, a chat box from our old friend we went to college with was in my messages saying she's been trying to contact me because my friend died, and I just lost it. It was crazy to me that I had this strong feeling that I needed to get on Facebook after already enjoying my social media cleanse. Story 2. This is still about my friend who died. And I forget I never gave her name in the first one, but let's call her Orange, as that was her favorite color. Fast forward to 2021. I'm out living in California, living the best life I can, with COVID still around. I meet a new friend named C. And when I start hanging out with C, I started getting this strange missing you feeling, but towards my girl Orange. And after having this feeling and meeting C, she would randomly say things that Orange would say all of the time. So, cue in the triggers of me missing my bitch. But as the week went on, I went into a store, and I kid you not, I swore I saw Orange's face on this lady. I did a double take, but of course the lady had a completely different face than my girl Orange. But later that day, my mom called, and mind y'all, me and my mom had this weird connection, and my mom is known to be a little sensitive to the paranormal, so when she says something, I know it's legit. But she called me and told me she had a dream that Orange came to her and said she loves and misses me too. And I swear to Jesus DeMarcus Christ, I was not ready for that. And I felt my eyes fill with tears because I know she's always with me. Thank you, girls, for reading my story. If you guys actually pick it to read on the podcast, Creep It Real, your girl, Jack.
DeMarcus. Oh, God. That's hilarious.
Also, orange is a very, I feel like, a random favorite color.
Yeah.
Like, it speaks to her personality. Like,
yeah,
you know, that she was very, I don't know. She was like, she's a different soul.
Yeah. I like that.
I try to think about, like, have I ever had occasion where I turn and I think I see, you see somebody's face, like how they do in the movie when they break up with somebody and it's like they can see their face in the crowd, wherever they look, they see their face. I don't think I've really ever experienced that.
I have once.
When you thought you saw your dad at the casino and you waved to him and Tiffany put your hand down, I was like, that's not your dad.
Okay, well, that, he looked very much like my dad. And Tiffany was like, I know who you're talking about because I literally did the same thing before I was like waving at this man. He like dressed like my dad. And my dad was a very distinct person. Sad okay?
part, her dad was still alive at this point.
Yeah. But no, this was my Uncle Bob.
Oh, yeah.
And I was at Walmart and I think I had like dropped my mom off to do something. So like I was parking so I could see her. And the guy like got in a different car. He used to have a truck, but like it was just a different car. But I didn't have my phone or something with it, like something with that, because I would have taken a fucking picture. Like I almost wanted to talk to this man because he looked so much like him. And my Uncle Bob was very tall and he had like black hair, but it was like graying then. But he had these like kind of Jeffrey Dahmer glasses. Mm-hmm. You know, and like, this is what that man looked like. And it was just like, holy fuck. But that's the only time I've ever really seen someone that I'm like, no, that was hands down that person.
But I wonder too, like, if that really was your Uncle Bob coming to see you, because y'all weren't that type of close.
Okay, so this is, it got me really scared because my Uncle Bob had a lot of mental health issues and he did die by suicide. And he had wrote a lot of journals mm-hmm. and stuff like that, and we kept them and they were in my room, and I was like, oh my god, is he mad that like we kept those journals or whatever, you know what I mean? So like when I saw that, like saw him, I was like and like now my sister has them because they're out of our house, like because it made me so, you know. And we weren't doing it in a mean way, those were just like his feelings and all of that, you know, it's like a personal thing. But I just did not feel comfortable then having that because I thought that's probably why I saw him. I did think I saw my mom once, but it was more like not her face. It was just like this woman looked like her. And like my mom had like really deep wrinkles in her arms mm-hmm. and stuff. And that woman had the same like, I don't know, skin or whatever. But that's it. That's all I've seen. Oh, also, when the writer was saying that they grew up on Goosebumps, Tales from the Crypt, and Are You Afraid of the Dark? We're the same age, honey, because that's yes, yes, and yes. Okay, last one. Hi, my favorite creepsters. I'm finally writing in after years of telling myself I need to. So here it goes. I'm just going to write my best paranormal stories all at once because I love the long stories and I know other people appreciate them too. Number one. Our haunted house in Italy. My family and I lived overseas for several years while my dad was stationed in Italy with the Air Force. The last house we lived in was absolutely beautiful, and we loved the time we spent there. It had several floors and a beautiful finished attic area that had wooden walls, a slanted ceiling, a fireplace, and a little walk-around patio on the roof. We would watch movies up there as a family, and I really just liked the vibe up there, except there was a door that separated the top of the stairs from the family room. And on the inside of that door, there were these long, deep scratch marks from the top to the bottom that did not look like they were from a dog. We joked about how odd it was when we moved in, but then didn't really talk about it after. Fast forward to one night, I'm home alone watching a movie up there with my two dogs when all of a sudden, both of the dogs start growling and run up to the top of the stairs looking down. Their fur was standing up, and I've never heard either of them growl like this before. Mind you, neither of these dogs were fierce or typically protective. I pause the movie, and I'm calling them, but they stood there growling. And then I hear it. Heavy, slow footsteps, like someone was wearing boots, coming up the very small set of six stairs. There's even a specific squeak one stair made that I always skipped when I was going to get down some midnight snackies. And when I heard that squeak, my stomach almost fell out of my ass. I didn't know what to do. But the house also came with an old axe that was kept in this bench thing for the wood for the fireplace. So I grabbed that and I was pressing myself against the wall, trying to call my dogs back and also trying to call my dad and my mom, who were about 15 minutes away at our favorite pizza spot. I told them someone was in the house and to come home immediately. Meanwhile, I'm standing there with an axe, like 15 years old, wondering how the fuck I'm supposed to murder someone to protect my dogs, as one does, and contemplating death and what it would be like. I was waiting to hear the footsteps come up the main flight of stairs up to the attic, or ideally going back down and leave. I stood there until my mom and dad got back home and never heard anything else, and no one was in the house. Still to this day, that was one of the scariest experiences and my first paranormal encounter. The other ones aren't as exciting, but are definitely odd. Twice, I saw a bright flash of white light, once outside my bedroom door and another in the hallway while we were eating dinner. And the second time, everyone saw it, so I knew I wasn't going crazy. It was so bizarre and almost looked like a light bulb going out, but way brighter and in the center of the space. I also have horrible nightmares, which I've had my whole life, but in this house, I would have these hallucinations, for lack of a better word, where I would wake up and see something, but then it would disappear and I'd still be awake. I saw a little girl multiple times and she would duck under my bed. Scary as shit. I have no idea what the fuck happened in that house, if the scratches on the door and the little girl and the heavy boots had any relation or what, but I was the only one who experienced weird stuff in that house except for the light that one time. Number 2, Gore Orphanage. After Italy, I moved to Ohio, way different vibe. And there was a spot out in the country that was supposedly this orphanage that had been burned down with a bunch of kids inside and was a hotspot for the paranormal. I later learned that story isn't entirely accurate, and literally just now, I looked up the true story and I feel like my experience is even creepier. I guess there was a religious family that were not good people, shocking, I know, and they had several orphanages that kept burning down in various states. When they created Gore Orphanage, there were rumors of abuse, neglect, torture, and kids would frequently try to escape. They also had almost all of their own children die through illness or tragedy, and eventually the orphanage went out of business and a mansion was built. Someone else bought the mansion and would hold seances and frequently summon the spirits of the dead children who recounted their tales of abuse. So I just learned all of that at this moment. Yikes. So one day, my friends and I decided we were going to go. It's in the woods and it's super eerie already, like weirdly silent. No bug sounds, no birds, and in Ohio, that was odd. All that's left is the foundation of the mansion slash orphanage. So we're beep bopping around for a bit, exploring, and then eventually decide to head out. Everyone else walks ahead and me and my buddy were like, oh, let's do a seance real quick. Idiots, I know. This was before I was into the paranormal, but I don't even know what we were thinking. So we hold hands and close our eyes and jokingly do like an and all of a sudden we hear a branch snap. And so we both whip our heads out to look, and I shit you not, there is a small child poking his head out from behind a tree. And when we looked, he popped it back behind it. We looked back at each other like, did you see what I saw? And then we booked it back to the car, got in, peeled out of there, and as I'm driving, I look in the rearview mirror and there is a tiny fucking handprint on the back window. I was like, nope, and just kept driving. It creeps me out to think I just found out someone held seances there to summon dead children. And without knowing that, my buddy and I were compelled to do that. Now I feel bad. That little kid was probably just like, oh, hey, you called? And then we ran out of there like some Scooby-Doo characters. Number 3, my apartment ghost. I now live in Los Angeles and have my own apartment. I love living alone, except when there are spiders or ghosts. I've since realized I'm a witch and I use herbs, tarot cards, spells, and healing stuff. Probably explains why I've always been sensitive to that kind of stuff. I've lived here for almost a decade and only had one time period where something was here with me. It started with me waking up to my bedroom door open sometimes, which was not easy to do since every door in here sucks, and you have to jam it into the doorframe to make it stay, and so it's really hard to open it. I sometimes sleepwalk, so I thought maybe I was just doing that, but then I started having these dreams of a tall, dark shadow figure pacing at the foot of my bed, which is just as terrifying as it sounds. And in one dream, the being opened my door and then I woke up. I sat up and I looked at my door, which was shut, but then with a loud bang, it popped open. That scared the fuck out of me and I ran outside and I had to calm down. Freaking out because it was also 3 a.m. on the dot. I went back inside and almost set off my fire alarms, burning cleansing herbs and praying to the Archangel Michael to help me get rid of it. Another day, my blinds were going crazy in only one spot, like someone was slapping them with their hands. There was no breeze or anything. I just stood there watching and then went into my room. Then I made another idiotic decision, which I will never do again, and I downloaded an EVP app. It sounds weird, but I just had this feeling that this entity was someone from a past life that was stuck or something. And I also felt like it was this weird abusive father situation. Still to this day, I don't know how I knew that, but it was just a deep feeling in my soul. So I turn on the app and it's just white noise. I let it go for a while to see if the app would say random stuff without asking questions, but it didn't. So I finally ask, "Are you a spirit that needs help?" It replied, "Burning." Okay, creepy. Then I ask, "Do I know you from a past life?" And it said, "Daughter." And that's when I was done. It just confirmed what I had been feeling the last few days and made it too real. I delete the app and try to forget about it. Fast forward to a few nights later, I'm laying in bed trying to fall asleep, and I felt something watching me, which I've never experienced before. It was so overpowering, and I was scared to move. I was laying on my side, cuddling a body pillow, when all of a sudden, something grabbed the body pillow and yanked it away from me, pulling my arms with it. And I almost shit myself as I was sprinting out of my room to the front door. I stayed up all night and then went to sleep when the sun came up, and then did the most intense cleanse I've ever done before. I went old school and busted out the pots and the pans and went around banging them saying, "Get the fuck out of here. This is my house, bitch. Go to the light." I told the spirit I forgive it and that it's free to leave. I didn't really know what else to say. Then I burned my cleansing herbs, did the salt on the doors and the windows after I felt like it was cleared out, and made little satchels of protection herbs and crystals I charged in the sun to put in all four corners of every room. After that, I haven't had any issues and I'm hoping it stays that way. Thanks for listening. Like everyone else, I am so grateful for you two and absolutely love the podcast and the Facebook group. Thank you for being you. I love you all. Love, Tara. And I hope I said your name right, but it's T-E-R-A-H. I love that you said you went old school with the pots and pans.
You know what I immediately thought of?
Big Brother?
Yes, when Josh is like, da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yes, I still will do that.
Oh, God, that was so toxic.
So toxic, but hilarious.
But with my sensory aversion to loud sounds, if I would have been in that house, one, when you sage with the pots and pans, or also with Josh from Big Brother, I would have lost my bananas.
Yeah.
That is the second time I have said lost my bananas. What is this saying that I am trying to make happen?
I don't know. You're just being Gwen Stefani over there. The shit is bananas, and you would have lost your shit, but then you're saying bananas. I know you're blinking at me like that because you hate Gwen Stefani.
Yes.
I'm just saying.
She's not my fave. You're right. But not the little kid handprint.
Right? Also, your house in Italy sounded fucking amazing. Like, it sounded like all the rom-com stuff where, like, you're on the patio, up on the rooftop kind of thing, watching movies.
Her parents were literally at their favorite pizzeria.
True. Oh, pizza.
You know that pizza was so good.
So good.
Can you all just ship me a slice?
Also, I want to go to Italy because they say Italian men do be loving the plus size pizzas.
The plus size pizzas? Oh. Is that the new way we're calling it?
Extra large pizza. You know, what else? Plus size pizza does have a good ring to it.
You know, that's just what they call deep dish now. Plus size pizza. Well, thank y'all so much for sending in all these stories. These were so good. We really do enjoy listening to your stories. So keep them coming. Send them in to us at aparanormalchicks@gmail.com. And remember,
creep it real
and don't get scared.